Il-program li ser tisimaw huwa miġjub lilkom biex xewqat tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta. Campus FM jippreżenta Il-Balomba. Program li jagħti ħarsa lil aħħar ġrajiet u żviluppi relatati mal-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. Produzzjoni u preżentazzjoni ta' Jasmine Saliba.
Lodu tajba, jena ġazmin saliba nsalmikum għakum għal dan il-program, il-Balomba program, illi kif tafu jitella bil-appoċ tal-rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta u li fih nitrattaw aħbarijiet mix-xena internazzjonali, però ovvjament b'mod partikolari, u enfasi partikolari, aħbarijiet marbutin ma' dak illi kun qiegħed jiġri fil-ambitu ta' l-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej. L-istituzzjonijiet Ewropej li bħal komplement tad-dinja kienu wkoll bistennija partikolari għal riżultat elettorali tal-elezzjonijiet prezidenzjali fl-Istati Uniti. Elezzjonijiet prezidenzjali illi raw li qed jintata bħala riżultat il-rebħa għal President elett Joe Biden. Qed ngħidu hekk unikkwalifikaw b'dan il-mod għaliex sa meta timorru għal produzzjoni ta' dan il-programm li xandar l-ewwel darba l-erba President Amerikan Donald Trump għadu ma konċedix it-telfa għal din l-elezzjoni. Waħda mill-ewwel organizzazzjonijiet u l-istituzzjonijiet li awguraw lil Joe Biden ar-riżultat elettorali kienet il-Kummissjoni Ewropea permezz tal-President Ursula von der Leyen. Fattajp li ngħidu li f'proċess elettorali uħut mill-passi sinifikanti dejjem ikunu anka meta jkun hemm ir-rikonoxximent tal-riżultat elettorali minn pajjiżi u istituzzjonijiet oħrajn. Ir-relazzjonijiet bejn l-Istati Uniti u l-Unjoni Ewropea ta' Donald Trump kienu taħt strain li kien ġej minn numru ta' aspetti, b'mod partikolari l-aspett ta' tariffi u il-negozju ħieles u pożizzjonijiet divergenti fuq qatt konsiderevoli ta' issues. Kien Juncker li mar White House u kien anka ftiem fuq zblokka l-possibilità ta' diskussjonijiet, però propju din il-ġimgħa ġew imposti it-tariffi b'ritaljazzjoni għal tariffi oħrajn li kienet tagħmel l-Istati Uniti, però meta ġew introdotti dawn it-tariffi kien hemm il-kwalifika li qed jittama li fiċ-ċirkostanzi ikun hemm soluzzjoni taħt Joe Biden għal negozju aħjar bejn iż-żewġ naħat. Tajb li ngħidu wkoll nikkwalifikaw li fiċ-ċirkostanzi il-sitwazzjoni kella anka dimensjonijiet varji anka minħabba relazzjonijiet ma' Russja. U saħansitra li kemm il-darba il-karta Amerika intużat fin-negozjati li kienu qegħdin jsiru dwar Brexit ma' Renju Unit. Però kif għedna kien hemm l-ewwel reazzjoni wkoll f'dan il-kuntest minnha tal-President tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea Ursula von der Leyen. Nisimgħu x'kellha xi tgħid.
The European Union and the United States are friends and allies. Our citizens share the deepest of links. The election of the President of the United States of America is therefore a moment of significance, also on this side of the Atlantic. We have all been following the electoral process closely, and it is clear now that the 46th President-elect is Joe Biden. I congratulate him and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris on their victory. Together, the United States of America and the European Union have built an unprecedented partnership. It is rooted in common history and shared values of democracy, freedom, rule of law, the respect for human rights, social justice, and an open economy. Our partnership has underpinned the rules-based international order for decades and remains a pillar of stability, security, and prosperity on both sides of the Atlantic. As the world continues to change and new challenges and opportunities appear, our renewed global partnership will be critical. The European Union stands ready to intensify cooperation with the new administration and with the new US Congress. Together, we will address pressing global challenges. The corona pandemic and its economic consequences, climate change and the loss of biodiversity, the necessary rule book for the digital economy and society, global security, and the reform of the rules-based multilateral system. I look forward to driving this global agenda together with the next president of the United States, Joe Biden.
Il pandemia tal coronavirus, che ferrieti sta e assumite, rappresenta shock kbir immens alle economie globali o anche all'Unione Europea, bel conseguenze cuno sociali, economici, da natura gravi. L'attività economica fra Europa soffrite shock kbir, fra la nostra sena, obdetter gupra mot relativamente awi, fettire trimestru, e che fil misuri ta' contenimento tneħħew gradualment. Ma dan kollu, iż-żieda fiċ-ċifri, il-dħul mill-ġdid ta' numru ta' restrizzjonijiet u anka l-sitwazzjoni dwar kif qed tinferex din il-marda, u allura l-impatt epidemioloġiku ta' din il-marda qed iħalli wkoll ċertu pressjonijiet li ser ikollhom impatt anke fuq l-aspett ekonomiku. F'dan l-isfond kollu ġie ppreżentat it-tbassir ekonomiku tal-ħarifa fejn l-irkupru kien interrott e kif żieda qawwija mill-ġid tal-pandemija qed tkompli tipprofondixxi fuq kollox element ta' inċertezza madwar l-Ewropa kollha. F'dan il-kuntest kien ippreżentat it-tbassir għall-liġej. Tbassir li jipprojetta rata ta' qatt ta' 8% tal-2022 bħalsa ta' 7.5% u anka għandek element ta' inflazzjoni li għadha baxxa għal numru ta' raġunijiet. Meta kienet qed tiġi preżentata din il-tbassir il-Viċi Preżident Eżekuttiv għall-Ekonomija u għas-servizz ta' nies Valdis Dombrovskis għal dan it-tbassir jiġi kif it-tieni mewġa tal-pandemija qed tifrex sansi tra' aktar inċertezza u xejjen it-tamit tagħha għall-irkupru rapidu. Mingħatihaw il-Kummissarju għall-Ekonomija Paolo Gentiloni għal li wara l-aktar reċissjoni profonda fl-istorja tal-Unjoni Ewropea fl nostra din is-sena u titjib qawwi ħafna fis-sajf l-irkupru mill-ġdid reġa' ġi interrott. U fil-kuntest ta' dan il-politiċi ekonomiċi u fiskali li jibqgħu ta' appoġġ waqt il-pakkett ta' Next Generation EU irid jiġi finalizzat din is-sena u jinġib implementat b'mod effettiv fl-ewwel nofs ta' sena id-dieħla. Meta kienet tiġi preżentat dan il-tbassir sar il-konferenza tal-aħbarijiet proprju mill-Kummissarju Paolo Gentiloni. Nisimgħu l-ewwel parti tal din il-konferenza tal-aħbarijiet fejn fiha ta' indikazzjoni tal-isfond ta' dan it-tbassir.
Well, thank you. Let me first of all begin thanking DG ECFIN and my team for the effort, which is not an easy one to have solid forecasts in such a uncertain situation. We have five key messages emerging from the 200 pages of our forecast. First, the pandemic caused the deepest recession in EU history in the first half of 2020, surpassing that in the great financial crisis. This contraction, which was uneven among member states, was followed by a strong rebound in the third quarter, a very strong rebound, as containment measures were eased. Second message, in recent weeks, we are facing the resurgence of the pandemic and new containment measures have been taken. The economic rebound has been interrupted. Growth is set to stall in the fourth quarter and to pick up again as of the first quarter of 2021. Overall, EU GDP is forecast to contract by about 7.4%, 7.8% for the euro area this year, before growing 4.1%, 4.2% for the euro area in 2021, and 3% in 2022. These forecasts imply that GDP for the EU as a whole will be just shy of its pre-pandemic level by end of 2022. But unfortunately, this is not the case for all member states. Third, Policy measures taken at national and EU level continue cushioning the impact of the COVID-19 crisis on both households and firms. Furthermore, a highly accommodative monetary policy has supported market funding as well as bank lending. To support confidence and the recovery, it is essential that monetary and fiscal policies continue to work hand in hand. Fourth, given the current exceptional uncertainty, we have made two important technical assumptions on the forecast. First, we assume that some degree of containment measures will remain in force throughout the forecast horizon. And this partially explains the slower path of recovery in 2021 and 2022. However, after a significant tightening in the fourth quarter of 2020, the stringency of the measures is expected to gradually ease in 2021. Second assumption, and without prejudice to the outcome of ongoing negotiation on a future EU-UK partnership, we assume that the EU and the UK will trade on WTO most favoured nation rules from January 2021. Fifth message, downside risks are, in this forecast, exceptionally large. But there are also upside risks, and I will run through these at the end of my presentation. So, starting with a look at the international situation, the global GDP, excluding the EU, expected to contract by about 3.8% in 2020, considerably more than during the global financial crisis. It is forecast to rebound by around 4.7% in 2021 and to moderate to about 3.7% in 2022. Coming back to the EU, monthly data confirmed that the economy has been on the mend as of May. Parts of industry, construction and retail trade rebounded vigorously over the summer, driven by a strong pent-up demand. By contrast, services relying on close person-to-person contacts have remained weaker as containment measures have remained in place and also consumer behavior, affecting demand and supply for services involving such as travel, tourism, restaurants, entertainment. The fresh estimate from Eurostat published last Friday indicates that the third quarter rebound was even stronger than we expected. The rebound was driven by pent-up demand, as I said, and decisive policy action both by member states and the EU. But as I've underlined, the resurgence of infections across Europe in recent weeks is causing renewed disruptions. This is expected to put the recovery on hold in the short term. It also leaves the outlook subject to extremely high uncertainty. The gradual decline in the level of stringency over the course of 2021 should translate into consumption and investment gradually rebounding. GDP is forecast to continue growing in 2022, but at a somewhat more subdued pace. In short, we never counted on a V-shaped recovery. Now we know for sure that we will not have one. The pandemic is evolving by the day, making any forecast subject to high uncertainty. We have therefore produced two alternative scenarios to complement our baseline forecast. The downside scenario considers the negative impact of economic sentiment and firm financing conditions of stricter and more protracted virus containment efforts. As you can see, this downside scenario projects significantly worse economic outcomes in the near term. By contrast, the upside scenario assumes an earlier and stronger recovery in business and consumers' confidence, resulting from faster progress in development of an effective treatment or a better adaptation by households and firms to the new COVID-19 environment. The depth of the recession in 2020 and the speed of the recovery in 2021 and 2022 are expected to vary widely across member states. Nearly half of our member states are not expected to recover their pre-pandemic level of GDP by the end of 2022. These divergences reflect the difference in the severity of the pandemic and the stringency of related containment measures. But they also reflect differences in domestic policies response and economic structures. Namely, countries with large tourism sectors are expected to take longer to achieve a full recovery. Just as private consumption and investment took a particularly sharp hit in the first half of the year, both are expected to drive the recovery in 2021 and 2022. Private consumption is set to rebound as households gradually release accumulated savings and adjust their spending patterns. Investments is set for a gradual rebound over the next 2 years, benefiting from highly accommodative monetary policy, increased public investment and government support schemes for firms, the EU recovery package. Unlike in past recoveries, the European economy cannot count on a significant pull from the external side. As the pandemic has been a truly global shock, net exports are not expected to contribute much to the EU growth over the next 2 years. So all member states have put in place sizable discretionary fiscal measures to cushion households and firms from the negative impact of the pandemic. The social impact should be a shared priority in member states and at EU level.
Per parte di me, sir, nisimu ufti aktar analizi anka dettaljata dwar kem qed jiġi mbassar, però wkoll dwar l-impatt li qed jiġi mbassar. Nisimu ufti anka kif il-pajjiżi ser jintlaqtu minn din ir-realtà.
The most severely hit euro area countries are forecast to reach double-digit deficit ratios in 2020, namely Belgium, France, Italy and Spain. In 2021, the deficits are forecast to stay above 3% of GDP in all member states, except Cyprus, Luxembourg, Denmark, Croatia and Sweden. The debt ratio is expected to increase in all member states in 2020 and to decrease in around a third of member states in 2021. Now, to the risks. Traditionally, we describe the risks to our forecast, and these risks are substantial. First, on the downside, the pandemic could become more severe and last longer. In such case, more stringent and protracted containment measures would be required next year, leading to lower growth and higher unemployment and leaving deeper scars on the corporate sector. As an open economy, the EU would be also affected if the global economy turns out weaker due to a longer or more severe pandemic at the global level. Supportive policy measures could be withdrawn prematurely. This concerns both fiscal policy support, in particular job retention schemes, but also health policy measures. There is then the risk that in spite of policy efforts, country divergence might become entrenched, endangering the functioning of the internal market. And lastly, the possibility of financial market stress, which is not there now, also cannot be excluded as a downside risk for the future. But let me end with a more optimistic message, because there are also a number of upside risks. First, faster medical advances could accelerate the relaxation of distancing measures, improve confidence and result in a quicker return to normal. This, of course, includes the possibility of a swift and widespread deployment of a vaccine next year. And second, a future EU-UK trade agreement would mean a positive impact on economic activity from 2021 as compared to the forecast baseline of the UK and EU assumed to trade on WTO most favoured nation terms. Lastly, let me say a few words on next generation EU, because our forecasts only take into account measures that are publicly announced and sufficiently detailed. We have not been able in most cases to include in our projections investment that could potentially be financed through next generation EU. Also, no financing from the RRF has been included on the revenue side of the budgetary projections. Only the 10% pre-financing of RRF grants is included in the forecast for 2021 as a financial transaction with an indirect debt-reducing impact. Next Generation EU is, of course, much more than an upside risk to our baseline. It represents an unprecedented boost to the EU economy. You will find in the forecast document an updated simulation of the substantial growth effects that can be expected, up to 2% of GDP on average, in the years of its active operation. Moreover, Next Generation EU will be a strong tool to counter the divergence between countries that I have mentioned, since the most of the countries hardest hit by the pandemic, according to our forecast, are also part of the group of member states receiving the largest grants contribution, for example, Croatia, Italy, Portugal, Spain and Greece. So it's essential that we see a swift agreement in the ongoing negotiation on Next Generation EU, so that this game-changing program of investment and reform can get underway and start supporting the recovery and transformation of our economies. Thank you, and I am ready for your question.
Pas deċiżiv biex jista' jkun hemm żblokk għas-sitwazzjoni bejn il-Kunsill u l-Parlament u anka l-Kummissjoni fil-negozjar bejn it-tliet naħat dwar il-budget tal-Parlament Ewropew, anzi dwar il-budget tal-Unjoni Ewropea, l-MFF, kienet deċiżjoni li intlaħaq bil dwara fl-aħħar ġraret. Deċiżjoni importanti li kienet tikkonċerna r-rabta bejn il-money laundering u l-aspetti ta' rule of law u l-ħlas l-istati ma' bil-finanzjament. Dwar dan aħna ser inkunu qegħdin nisimgħu il-kummenti li sertu minnaħat għall-Presidenza Ġermaniża fid-dawl ta' dan l-qbil. L-audio għedin nisema huwa il-kemm il-verġin ġermani, pero hemm ukoll it-traduzzjoni bl-Ingliża, skont kif kien anke mod dilna minnaħat tal-Uffiċċju tal-Kunsill u l-Presidenza Ġermaniża.
Ich möchte Sie über die Ergebnisse und Diskussion der heutigen Tagung der EU-Finanzminister und Finanzminister informieren. Beginnen möchte ich mit dem Thema Geldwäschebekämpfung. Wir haben uns heute auf sehr ambitionierte Ratsschlussfolgerungen zur Bekämpfung von Geldwäsche und Terrorismusfinanzierung geeinigt. Politische Einigung ist ein klares und auch sehr, sehr starkes Signal Europas für eine Geldwäschebekämpfung. Alle Mitgliedstaaten stehen geschlossen hinter der Forderung, dass wir den Rechts und die Aufsichtsstruktur in Europa stärken und verbessern müssen. Die Ratsschlussfolgerungen enthalten drei Kernpunkte. Zunächst eine stärkere Vereinheitlichung der Geldwäscheregeln in Europa durch die Schaffung einer europäischen Geldwäscheaufsicht mit direkten Aufsichtsbefugnissen, insbesondere im Bereich des Finanzsektors sowie die Etablierung eines Koordinierungs- und Unterstützungsmechanismus für Financial Intelligence Units. Das sind große, weitreichende Schritte und eine erhebliche Chance der heutigen Realität. Mit den Ratsschlussfolgerungen geben wir der Kommission klare politische Leitlinien für die 2021 schon angekündigten Legislativvorschläge. Ich freue mich jedenfalls ziemlich, dass wir bei diesem wichtigen Thema einen solchen Schritt vorangekommen sind. Das ist für die politische Debatte, aber vor allem für die Gesetzgebung. Das ist vor allem wichtig, weil es um die Veränderung und Bekämpfung von Geldwäsche fight against money laundering and terrorism. This is a top priority for the German Council presidency,
and I
very much wanted to make progress here and follow this up.
The second important subject was fair and effective digital taxation. The Council is working on key proposals. Das ist ein Thema, bei dem wir wissen, dass dort sehr viel geschieht, was keine faire Situation gegenüber dem Handel, weil das Geschäft um die Ecke mit sich bringt. Und wenn wir erreichen wollen, dass digitale Handelsgeschäfte genauso besteuert werden wie andere, müssen wir dazu die rechtlichen Voraussetzungen schaffen. Und ziemlich offensichtlich kann man das erst, wenn man das in Europa gemeinsam macht. Wir wollen also der Steuerhinterziehung auf digitalen Plattformen ein Riegel vorschieben. Has to be curtailed. We want fairness and fair competition. Habe ich an alle meine Kolleginnen und Kollegen appelliert, dass wir uns ein Druck geben, um auch bei diesem wichtigen Gesetzgebungsvorhaben so schnell wie möglich voranzukommen. Ich will erreichen, dass wir bereits beim nächsten Treffen im Dezember diese Einigung auch hinbekommen. Im Übrigen wissen Sie, dass wir auf der Ebene der G20 und OECD ohnehin an Arbeit dabei sind, für internationale Lösungen zu kämpfen, die eine Beschleunigung der digitalen Wirtschaft mit sich bringen. Die G20-Finanzminister und Finanzminister haben im Oktober die Einigung in der OECD auf die Blaupause zu einer Zwei-Säulen-Lösung für eine Umverteilung der Besteuerungsrechte und eine effektive Mindestbesteuerung begrüßt. Und auf der Basis der Blaupause wollen wir jetzt auch bis Mitte 2021 eine internationale Konsenslösung erreichen. Wenn man das vergleicht mit den Beschlüssen, die an verschiedenen Stellen gefasst worden sind, ist das jetzt der Grad, den alle verfolgen. Wir sind so weit wie noch nie und deshalb müssen wir auch versuchen, das zuvor jetzt zu machen, das uns schon vor uns zu sehen.
Die Europäische Union unterstützt diesen Prozess und macht sich weiter für eine globale Lösung. Das dritte Thema, das wir besprochen haben, ist der Abbau notleidender Kredite.
Dealing with
die Kommission hat zum aktuellen Umsetzungsstand des 2017 Aktionsplans berichtet
an action plan going back
und einen ersten Ausblick auf ihren angekündigten neuen Aktionsplan gegeben, der dann die Zukunft regeln soll.
To deal with the
future. Wir haben wichtige Fortschritte beim Abbau von notleidenden Krediten erreicht, aber eins ist ganz klar, wenn die Corona-Pandemie einmal abgerechnet wird, dann wird man auch sehen, dass das Niveau an notleidenden Krediten weiter steigen wird. Das ist aber für uns alle ein ansporniges Recht,
schnell fertig zu werden mit dem politischen Gesetzgebungsprozess,
das dazu notwendig ist. Ich glaube, waren wir heute uns im Rat einig,
Council, we want to ensure
that
the remaining measures are quickly adopted by the European Parliament, and that is a precondition for what has to be done in the future. And
finally, very briefly, Austausch mit den Sozialpartnern gestern hinweisen. Wir haben sehr sorgfältig die Situation diskutiert,
der Unternehmen,
der Arbeitnehmerinnen und Arbeitnehmer,
workers,
was sie gewissermaßen in ganz Europa an Herausforderungen zu bewältigen haben
wegen dieser globalen
Gesundheitskrise. Genauso intensiv war das Gespräch heute mit den EFTA-Staaten, sehr freundlich, sehr konstruktiv.
Es hat uns konstruktiv geholfen,
dass wir hier im Gleichgang geblieben können. Und man sieht, dass gerade die EFTA-Staaten auf der gleichen Weise auf die Krise reagieren, wie wir das tun. Und das ist vielleicht auch eine gute Basis für
den
regelbasierten Multilateralismus, um den es ja heute auch an anderen Orten geht.
Di nuovo dalla Cemre, grazie conto l'attenzione, inaugura il complemento. Taglio Metajev, Saha.
Outcome Camp Smaitu. Il Balomba. Produzioni o presentazioni da Jasmine Saliba. Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom biex xewqa tajba ta' rappreżentanza tal-Kummissjoni Ewropea f'Malta.